This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Mary Louise Kelly. Every once in a while, you come across a book that completely captures a place. Even if you've never been there yourself, it's like you can see it, smell it, taste it. There's a new novel out that does that for New York, specifically the borough of Queens. Author Matt Burgess nails the places.
The Churrascarias, the Botanicas, the Pharmacias, the Eyebrow Threaders, the Pizza Parlors, the Liquor Stores, the Auto Body Shops, the Soul Glass Emporium.
And then there's the people.
The dog walkers, the butchers outside their shops, the Dominican dudes on milk crates. They all smile and nod.
That's Matt Burgess, and he's with us from our New York bureau to talk about the book called Dogfight, A Love Story. Hey there, Matt.
Very nice to be here.
Those descriptions we just heard you reading are so vivid. I mean, you really can feel like you're walking right down the street in Queens, which is where the whole book is set. Why don't I start by letting you tell us, in a nutshell, what's the book about?
The book is about probably Queens's worst drug dealer ever, Alfredo Batista, who is a 19-year-old Puerto Rican kid living with his parents. And his older brother is returning home from prison, which is a source of some concern for Alfredo because Alfredo is now dating his older brother's ex-girlfriend, Isabel. And she is, at the start of the book, 7 months pregnant.
Okay, so Alfredo Batista, as you say, this scrawny teenage drug dealer, he has gotten his brother's girlfriend pregnant. There's a scene early in the book where he mugs a kid outside his school. And yet I found as I was reading, you can't help rooting for the guy.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, he does some pretty reprehensible things throughout the book, but you could never be more upset with him than he is with himself.
And he's locked in battle with this brother, Tariq, who is leaving prison, who has a lot of reasons to be angry with Alfredo.
Yeah, and he's already an angry individual.
This story of two brothers locked in battle, I mean, there's something universal about that. What was the appeal to you of telling that sort of story set in Queens?
It's brother versus brother, a revenge story, and it's also a love triangle. And I wanted to tell a story with probably the most basic plot or most familiar to us. I mean, it's like brother versus brother is in Genesis, you know? And I wanted to tell a simple story so that I could dress it up with all the things that I'm interested in, like those botanicas and the eyebrow threaders, sort of bringing this neighborhood to life and these characters.
You steer the brothers through the book, and it comes to a climax with, as the title suggests, a dogfight. They're down in this sweaty basement of a corner shop in Queens. And the Batista brothers, Alfredo and his brother Tariq, have brought a pit bull. And they are fighting their pit bull against a German shepherd named Diana. I wonder if you would read a little bit from that passage on page 255.
They inch closer to the center line. The pit leans forward on powerful legs, lips peeled back from gums. On the other side of the line, Diana tries to bite at his face. The crowd constricts even tighter, which Alfredo didn't think possible. As he takes a step forward, so do the dogs, right up to the center line, their noses almost touching. Alex and Tariq struggle to pull them apart and drag them into their respective corners. It is in this moment, with the magnetism between the animals at its strongest, that the handlers let go. Afterward, when thinking back on this night, everyone down here will remember the crack of initial contact, the way the dogs, both of them airborne, collided in the center of the ring, the way the bone of one dog's skull smashed into the bone of the other dog's skull.
And that violence that you just read about between the dogs is a prelude to violence that's going to come between the brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, without giving too much away, this is a very brutal climax. It's a very brutally violent book.
Yeah. And I hope it's also a funny book too. I try to cram everything in there. When I started this book, it was probably much more violent and much grimmer. Like, look how rough these lives are, that sort of thing. And my father actually asked me, he said, "So you're working on a novel, is it funny?" And I said, "No, not really." And he said, "Yeah, that's what the world needs, another unfunny book." and I was like, "Yeah, no kidding." And so I tried to really I try to balance out the violence and sort of the intensity of the book with, you know, some real life stories with me and my friends hanging out and just goofing off.
I wondered when I read about the ghetto car.
Ah, the ghetto car is true to life. The ghetto car is something that my friends and I used to do late at night because at McDonald's, they closed down McDonald's, but the late night drive-through remains open. And so we were hungry because, you know, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. And so we would go to this window and try to get food, and they wouldn't give it to us because if you're not in a car, you can't get any food. It's like this archaic, ridiculous McDonald's rule of theirs. So what we would do is we would, you know, squat down. We would pull up to the window in this imaginary car. There's four of us, two in the front seat, in this imaginary front seat, two in this imaginary back seat, and we're squatting. The driver has his arms locked in front of him, holding the steering wheel. We'd roll down the imaginary window, and it never, ever worked. And we called it the ghetto car.
I saw where you said that your research for this book largely consisted of hanging out on park benches and stoops and handball courts and running your mouth and hearing the stories that came back at you.
That's pretty much all I did. Yeah. When I started the book, I thought I was going to write about this big, bad drug dealer, you know, like the Pope of Jackson Heights. But I realized that I'd have to do quite a bit of research because I don't know any big bad drug dealers. I know some drug dealers who are living with their parents and selling weed so they can afford their own weed. And it became much easier for me to write about a drug dealer as clueless about this whole industry as I am and as my friends are.
Well, and how close are these characters to people who you would have known growing up? I mean, this is about a pair of Puerto Rican drug dealers in Queens. You are white, Ivy-educated Dartmouth grad.
Yeah. Well, Jackson Heights is probably, I've heard, I don't know if it's true, I've heard it's the most diverse place in the world. And so I have a lot of different friends, and we all hung out together, a lot of different friends both personality-wise and ethnicity-wise. And I worry that it might be a challenge to be writing point of views from Puerto Rican kids, but it was no harder than writing the point of view of a pregnant woman.
Do you think, Matt Burgess, you could evoke a place so vividly if it weren't Queens? I mean, could you write like this about Minnesota, where you are now?
I don't know. I've tried to write other stories that don't take place in Queens, and it just doesn't have the same urgency for me, which is not to say that I think Queens is a more interesting place than Minneapolis, where I live, or any of the other places where I've lived. But it doesn't – I daydream Queens in a way I don't these other places.
That's Matt Burgess. His new book is called Dogfight, A Love Story, and he joined us from our bureau in New York. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.